My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Belarus, in the summer of 2020, during the depths of the pandemic, living in Manhattan on East 44th Street, just as the cafes opened again to put their tables out on the sidewalk so you could sit with a cappuccino. On a beautiful August day, I was reading the news internationally, and suddenly there was noise, which was unusual, because there weren't many people in Manhattan those days, and shops were closed intermittently. Grand Central was largely empty, but there was loud street noise, marching sounds or chanting sounds I didn't recognize. And suddenly I was overwhelmed. People pushing past me on the sidewalk. I was in the way, sitting in the sidewalk with a table and a cappuccino, wearing red, my memory is red T-shirts, all with language pointing to Belarus. There were large flags I didn't recognize, Belarusian flags. There were women with baby strollers, big square-shouldered men, big square-shouldered women, lots of blonde hair. These were the Belarus in diaspora in New York. Why were they coming to East 44th Street? I learned that across the street on an upper floor of a building was the legation for Belarus in New York. They were coming to protest the results of what we now regard as a corrupt vote that summer, returning a man named Lukashenko to be the apparatchik dictator, boss of Belarus one more time. I learned from Ekaterina Zolotova that what I was witnessing that day marks a change in the posture between Minsk, the capital of Belarus, on the Polish border, the frontier of NATO. The relationship changed between Minsk and Moscow. Theretofore, there had been some standoffishness, some distance between Lukashenko and Putin. After that, no more. Ekaterina, a very good day to you. In geopolitical futures, you identify those moments as when Belarus needed money help, it needed support, it needed cultural help from Moscow. And I'm presuming that Moscow was eager to give it. That day, the relationship changed. You describe it as a vassal relationship. What is Lukashenko's thinking of what he had to do in order to stay in power? Does he think of himself as a servant of the Kremlin? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and it's great to be here again. Well, let's start our story with the Belarus, with the position of the Belarus in Russian view. For Moscow, this is a very important area. It is a buffer zone that is called in geopolitics. And this is the buffer zone that divides the Russian territory from the West. So having an influence over the Belarus and having their presence, it's very crucial for Moscow. And of course, one of the major idea and one of the major imperatives of the Russian Federation was to get its own position, its own presence in that area. For a very long period, Belarus was balancing between the West and Russia. Belarus was trying to get the best from this position, getting, for example, the oil and gas from Russia, which were very cheap, and at the same time getting goods from Europe and then sending it back to Russia like a transit zone, and at the same time building the new society towards the West. It lasted for quite a long period, and before the events that you described, Lukashenko even met with some representatives from the United States, but everything was changed after this event that you described. Right now, Lukashenko has changed his attitude to Moscow. Amid the military operation that right now Russia is carrying in Ukraine, Belarus turned towards Russia, and we could say that it chose quite pro-Russian direction. The presidents are meeting very often. They are discussing different questions from economics to cultural issues and even to military one. And right now, Lukashenko is seen like one of the major ally of Moscow. But we don't need to forget that Belarus, and especially current power in Belarus, are getting some benefits from this, from their position right now. So, Belarus is becoming more dependent on Russia right now. And here we're speaking about the trade, about the military issues. We're speaking also about Russian troops that are located in Belarus. But at the same time, Belarus is taking its position and it's benefiting from this. We don't know how these relations will deep and how they will develop. But certainly Belarus will not abandon its sovereignty, and it will be in cooperation with Russia until there is some benefits for this territory.
There is an opposition. You write in your geopolitical future, Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, who travels the world. She was the opponent in the 2020 election that was seen as corrupted by ballot box counting and just general bullying by Lukashenko. And this opposition, as I point to the diaspora just in Manhattan during the pandemic, is worldwide. Is that a threat to the regime in Minsk? Do they talk about it?
Well, right now, the opposition is not so active as it was before. For example, if we return to 2020, there were a lot of protests, and these protests, they were not only in Manhattan and Belarus. Even, for example, the Belarusians who were living in Moscow, they were also protesting, and these protests were all over the world. There were channels, especially in some social networks and Telegram channels that were supported by the opposition. But from this time, the security forces of Belarus with the current power that is Lukashenko and his government, they were trying to suppress all of this opposition. So mostly opposition is active, but it's in Europe, it's in the United States. They are still working on their projects, on their activities. They discuss different plans. They even get some prices, for example, the last activity of Tikhanovskaya. But they are not very active in Belarus itself compared, for example, with 2020. Anyhow, Lukashenko is worried about them for sure.
Yes,
because the elections will be in 2025.
Yes. However, the Russian troops stationed in Belarus, I understand there were troops there before the invasion, before the Ukraine war, and there are troops there now. Are they understood to be troops as a potential into Ukraine, or troops to guard Minsk from any disruption by its own troops? How do the armies work together? Do we know?
Well, it's a very interesting question. In fact, Russia and Belarus have the Union State, and they have the military doctrine. They had it for a long time, and they had it even before the conflict in Ukraine. Before the conflict of Ukraine, Russia and Belarus hold very huge drills exactly close to the border. So it was the moment when the Russian troops could get to the border. And after that, the military operation in Ukraine started. So at first, it was used like the transit area for Russian troops. Right now, for example, Belarusian troops are not participating in military operation, but Belarus is providing the place. The Russian troops are located there. They are trained there, and there are a lot of rumors like who is training them. Is it the Chechen guys, or for example, the Belarusians are training, or maybe both Russian and Belarusian troops are training? I mean, like, there is some things that are not published, and we still don't know about them. But it's a very interesting one. Plus, Belarus is buying a lot of it's not buying, it's getting a lot of equipment from Russia. Right now, the role of these troops, it's still not clear. For example, those who are trying to model the Ukrainian conflict, they can say that the troops are going to be used to protect the territory of Belarus and also maybe to attack the Ukrainian territory if Russia would like to reach Kyiv. Sources and the other analysts, especially military analysts, say that these troops are used to guard Belarus because there is a very huge army concentrated on the Belarusian borders from Ukrainian side. It's about like 17,000 Ukrainian troops. Plus, there is also Belarusian nationalist formation inside of Ukrainian troops too. So this is why Belarus has the reason to be a bit worried and a bit scary from what is happening in the country, in the neighboring country. And they would like to see some protection too.
There's a plan, there's a plan for the union of the states. Is that plan going forward or is it just talk to unite the two states?
Well, the project appeared long time ago, and in the beginning it was going good. Then it was a period when it was just discussed and nothing was happening. Plus, there was a lot of criticism from Belarus. From 2021, exactly after the elections, the project started to revive. Right now, they signed about like 28 programs, union programs. They cover all issues from security to finance and many other options and projects.
Let me see if I understand. The armies are not united. They're distinct armies.
Yes, I understand now the question. So there is the Russian army, there is Belarusian army, and there is also Union State. It's the union between Belarus and Russia. And inside of this, there is also special Union State troops. What is happening right now in Belarus? I mean, like the Russians are training. It's not clear. It doesn't seem that they are united, but it is possible that they are training together and they're working together. Right. But I don't think that they're going to be used together for some purpose.
Ekaterina Zolotova in Moscow for Geopolitical Futures. We've talked about the military, we've talked about the political, we've talked about the election, we've not talked about trade. And Ekaterina's article has much to reveal about how things have changed in the last year of war fighting in Ukraine. I'm John Batchelor.